So about halfway through the year now. So how's your year been so far?
Oh, it's been outstanding. I can't ask for a better job.
Okay. Obviously, your latest album, Juggernaut Alpha and Juggernaut Omega, that came out earlier this year. I mean, how has the response been from that so far?
It's been great. I think that we were able to release the album that we wanted to release. Not that we haven't been able to do that in the past, but this time we had no time constraints. We get it exactly the way that we want down to the second, and then we get to release it. And we were able to do it in a good amount of time, and we had fun recording it, and it's exactly what we wanted to put out. So now that we did that and people like it, it's just that much better. So we're very, very happy about it.
Okay. Now, from my understanding, this is something that has been in the works for some time now, has it? Or
Yeah, it's gone through various incarnations.
okay. So, what sort of was it because you were trying to figure out what kind of stuff you were trying to go for, or was it just other logistics in the way that sort of delayed the recording and writing of the album?
It's all of the above, actually. I think the idea for Juggernaut has been around since the early days of the band, which is like 2005, 2006. And we've had tons of material written for it, but the lineups kept changing, and then the lineup that we have now is very collaborative, and we all work together on music. So we figured, like, well, we probably have a lot to say. Let's all work together and come up with new music, and not just because it was like old and we didn't want to use the old stuff. It was just we felt the stuff that we were currently writing was the best stuff that we could make. So, and that's what we always want to put out, is the best that we can do at any given moment.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now, was this always going to be a double album, or did that sort of come about later on?
That was actually more of a last minute decision. It was we've all been kind of toying with the idea, but at the end of we wanted to put on one disc, but we couldn't fit it. So we had a call with our labels and management, and they thought it was a great idea, and we thought it was a great idea, and we just kind of were like, all right, double album, let's do it. So it was a pretty simple decision.
Yeah, definitely. Now, I guess what the biggest news, at least for us fans down in Australia, was that you're coming down here in October with Devin Townsend. So you must be pretty excited about that.
Very excited. The only thing I'm not excited about is that flight. But once that's over, Australia is like the funnest place that we go outside of the States. So
Yeah, I know what you mean.
I'm very excited.
It is a long trip, so we really do appreciate you making the trek over.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah. Now, are you guys fans of Devin Townsend?
Absolutely. I think Devin is a huge influence on our sound and all of us as players. And it's just kind of an honor to be friends with him and his band, and kind of be able to share a career with him.
Have you guys toured with them before?
Yeah, we were in Europe for a little over 5 weeks earlier this year, and we toured with him and this band from Norway, Shining, and it was a really, really fun tour. It was in the middle of winter, and it was cold, and it was pretty harsh, but because we were on tour with such great bands, it was just a lot of fun.
Now, I've only spoken to Devin once on the phone and for an interview, but I've never actually had the opportunity to meet him. So, what is he actually like in person?
He is one of the most lovely, friendly people I've ever been around. And what's really great about him is most people are already aware of how prolific and what a great musician he is, but he's also extremely caring and thoughtful. And he just he just wants everybody to be happy around him. And it's just this great personality that, you know, he likes to make the same jokes as us, and he's just a real fun guy to be around and just a real sweetheart. So, you know, if people meet him, you know, they never have to worry about him, you know, being a jerk or whatever, you know, not being the great guy that he is, because it's just the way he is all the time.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I guess one of the misconceptions about him as well is that he's this sort of this, you know, this full-blown metalhead, and I guess that comes down from his early days with Strapping Young Lad, but I guess that's not the case because he is quite an open-minded person, and musically he's quite diverse as well.
Yeah, incredibly so. I mean, he listens to everything, and you can hear it in his music that he has a very, very wide musical palette. So I think that's how the best music is written, is when you're inspired by more than just one style or just more than one way of doing things. And, you know, as far as the production style that he favors, I think that is one of the biggest influences on Periphery. It's just this huge wall of sound that, you know, when you hear it, you know that it's Devin, you know, you know that it's going to be sonically what you'd expect out of heavy music.
Yeah, definitely. His sound is definitely quite unique, and one of the best things about his music, actually. Aside from the production side of things, how much of an influence has he had on your playing style?
Well, besides being one of the best vocalists in metal and one of the best all-around vocalists ever, he's also a phenomenal guitar player. And one of the things that I love about his playing is that he's able to play these complex passages and leads and solos while singing. So that's something that he's definitely inspired me to get better at, because I do a lot of the back vocals in Periphery, and I don't do that many of them. I haven't been doing that many of them on these last sets, but it's you know, watching him do a full set of being the front man, the guitar player, the lead guitar player, and to be able to sing all these incredible styles at the same time is mind blowing. So
yeah,
that's something that inspires me personally.
Yeah, it definitely is. It's one of those things, I guess, singing and playing the guitar, that must be quite a difficult thing to do, actually.
It is. It's something that I'll be working on that until I'm dead in the ground. So it's just this, it's like controlling two parts of your brain at the same time and then getting them to where it's effortless, which for me, it takes weeks and months just to do, you know, one song.
Okay. Now, going back into your sort of history and some of your guitar influences and all that kind of stuff, I mean, first of all, how long did it actually take for you to get to a point where you actually could play on a professional level?
I would say only until recently. I've been playing the guitar for, I'm 32 this year, 24. Yeah, I've been playing the guitar for about 24 years, and I still struggle with making sure. I mean, I don't know how somebody else's perception might be, but for me, like, I have a certain standard, and it's taken me a real long time to have more good shows than bad shows. And I guess that's the way that I look at it, and that's the way that I present it, because, like, it's, you know, when you have a certain fidelity of hearing things, which we use in-ear monitors, the moment we switched over to that, I just could hear exactly what we were doing on stage, and it was an eye-opening thing. And that was only 3 or 4 years ago at this point, maybe probably 3 years ago that we switched to in-ears. So before that, you know, I just was like, all right, you know, I'm doing good. I think I'm good enough. And then I heard the stuff we were doing in higher fidelity. I'm like, whoa, I have a lot of work to do. So I guess within the last 3 years is when I felt like I could do this at a professional level.
Okay.
Even though prior to that, I've been doing it at a professional level.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But I guess it is one of those things that is a learning curve. I mean, you kind of, there is no end point in guitar playing. It's sort of like you learn as you go along, and there is, and that's it, I suppose.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you never stop. Anybody who says that they're happy with where they're at or whatever it is, I think missing the point. I think, you know, what's great about the instrument is that it can present you with limitless possibilities, in terms of, you know, what you're learning and, you know, how you're playing it and approach and it's just, it never ends. And that's kind of what I love about it. You know, it's kind of the thing that just keeps giving back.
Yeah. Now, given your progressive nature of your music, it's always interesting to see what kind of influences you've had. I mean, we've obviously talked about Devin Townsend, but who do you consider to be maybe your biggest influence as far as a band or a particular artist, maybe when you were growing up?
There's two. The first one is, well, there's more than two, obviously, but there's two big ones that I will always mention. And the first one is Dream Theater. They, just the way that they do things and the meticulous nature of their recordings and just how great they are as a band and live and everything is just something that I aspire to achieve one day. And then the other band is Pantera, because I mean, as far as metal goes, they're still like, I'll listen to bands that I was into, you know, 15, 20 years ago, and they'll show their age, and you know, it's kind of like a moment in time that is coming down. But with Pantera, if I put on a Pantera record, it still sounds like the freshest, heaviest, like most devastating metal I've ever heard.
Yeah.
And I think they will hold that legacy for me for forever. And I think a lot of people feel the same way. It's a shame that, you know, they can't come back or, you know, do the reunion thing that, you know, a lot of people get to enjoy with other bands. But, you know, they lost such a crucial component to the band. But yeah, Pantera, Dimebag Darrell, biggest, like probably my biggest guitar influence.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, I'm a huge Pantera fan as well, so I know what you mean. They're hugely influential. It's funny enough, I was just talking to Vinnie Paul just yesterday, actually. You know, it's
cool.
Yeah, it's just one of those things. You know, you never forget about where these guys came from. You know, and Dream Theater as well, another great band. So, and obviously, like, I can hear that influence in Periphery as well. So, but yeah, the tour coming up. I mean, it's going to be fantastic. I mean, what's some of the things that we can expect on this tour?
Well, we're going to play a Juggernaut-oriented set with some oldies thrown in there. It's going to be a cool night because you're getting two bands that we really love each other. Like, we're like best friends with them. And it's just going to be a really, really fun night. I feel like another great part about touring with them is that we share fans, you know, like people who are into us are into Devin, and people who are into Devin are into us, and people who haven't heard us on either side get into the other band just by virtue of how you know, how we're Periphery inspired by Devin. So it's gonna be a cool night.
Yeah, I think it's gonna be great. So we're looking forward to it. So anyway, thanks for your time today, and we'll see you in October.
Awesome. I'll see you soon.